Thank you, Lord, for building your church through your people. May your name be eternally praised, because you're using each one of us to build your kingdom. We thank you for those that are serving around our world in difficult places, places that are war-torn, places that have famine and disease, places that have rife poverty. We pray for our missionaries as they serve you around our world. And we pray your grace and your enablement and your power upon them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. We have the privilege this morning of welcoming Albert and Diane Wong up onto the platform this morning. They're traveling here all the way from Asia and are with us in way of a wedding that is out in Lethbridge for Silas and Anna Lee. And they're going to be doing that on July 23rd. So we have the privilege of having them here in our congregation. If you don't know who they're related to, I don't know if Wilford and Stella are here this morning. I don't see them in their usual place over in the corner there. But they are related to Wilford and Stella Wong. And of course, Phil and Titus. So come on up, you guys. And we each have a microphone for you. And they're going to tell us a little bit about their work. Okay, so it's just you. The wife is going to stay seated. Okay.
Well, my wife going to stay there, Diane. Good morning, brother and sister. I thank God for this opportunity this morning to come back to share a little bit about my work. Not my work, God's work in China. Well, some of you might know us. Do I look a little bit like my brother, Wilfred? Especially our sound when we're speaking, even though the two, Diane and Stella, couldn't tell over the phone. But anyway, they are in Lethbridge today. Well, today I want to share a little bit about our work, our experiencing God's work in China. Back to 2011, we got sent out to China, and we just joined, when we go there, and then we starting, not us to start the organization, which is God's plan. So when we get to Hong Kong, and the organization just started. And this organization called Healing Hope Organization, which is we doing mission training and evangelizing in one organization. This is also our platform. What we've been done, we do a lot of free medical works over all the villagers and the poor area. And this is only part of it, the cataract surgery. In 2012, we served about 108 people. And then 2013, 120 people, and so on. So we've been helping a lot of people who need to do the cataract surgery. We bring in mobile surgery room to go around the poor area in Guangdong area. So we're serving on those, especially for those poor and farmer. In China, the farmer is not as rich as like in Canadian farmer. They are very, very poor. their annual income is about $2,000 RMB, which is about $400 Canadian a year. Okay, and we also have the medical care training. We train all those senior home workers. Back to about 3 years ago, we God have given us the elderly home then as a platform to serve the elderly at the Guangdong area. And also, God also giving us a school to train all those medical care, especially those senior home worker. And then starting at that time, so we also starting a different program now to have a different career, like we have, and also the dietitian, and also the psychology counseling. And also we also have joined in China, in every province, we also have the local medical fellowship. All the medical, Christian medical doctor, and we have a fellowship all over in China. So in this year, in April, so we have a joint conference in Qingdao. So we they're all coming from the they're all the representative coming from all the different local medical fellowship. So we're doing this fellowship, and then we hope to helping the hospital and medical services in China. So you might, some of you might heard about a lot of bad thing about the medical services in China. So we are working in different hospital with the Christian doctor to influence on those whoever non-believer doctor in the different hospital. And we bring in also the medical student to the fellowship to train them and also to prepare them to bring them out in the future to a different country to do mission. And I want to share a little bit about this miracle work. So back to about 3-4 months ago, we have asked the church to pray for us because during the Chinese New Year's, and we get a call from one of the elderly. Him and his wife working as a medical doctor for 60 years. And then I have brought them to Christ about a year ago. And then up to this year, the beginning of year, around the Chinese New Year's area. And then they give us a call, said they are admitted to the hospital and want me to go to the hospital to help them, to baptize them. And because they are in the, when they call me, and then that was still in a, only admit to the hospital, but it's not in critical. But a day later, and then another and a sister called me, said, want us to go there urgent because he suddenly turned into pneumonia and also in a critical condition. And then they want us to help them to baptize. And then at that time, in the Chinese New Year's time, it's very hard to get the train ticket from, we live in Shenzhen, which is about 150 kilometers away. And then we couldn't buy the train ticket, but God has prepared us, a young couple heard that need, and then willing to borrow their vehicle for us to travel down there to help them to do baptize. When we get there, you can see the picture at the top. And this elderly is already in coma and unconscious. And then when I get there in the ICU, and then I think, oh, how can I baptize him? He's in unconscious. And then Diane said, okay, you just go ahead and do it. I said, how can I do it? He's unconscious. And then I said, okay, we do a little test. And then I talked to him and said, Mr. Yao, actually it's Dr. Yao. And then, do you want me to baptize you today? If you are able to understand and listen to what we've been saying, so please grab my hand tightly. And then miraculously, I feel it, and he grabbed my hand, but I couldn't have, I don't believe that he do the action. And then I asked Diane, have you feel him to grab your hand? Diane said, yes, it's very strong. He grabbed my hand, it's very strong. So even though he's unconscious and in coma, and then he still can understand and listen to what we've been talking to him. So then we know he is okay to baptize. And I talked to him one more time about the gospel, to making sure he understand and accept Christ as his own savior. And then all of a sudden he said, I asked him, do you believe and accept Christ as your savior? If you do, please, how to say it, and move your head. He did it. And move his head. Yes, I want it. But even though his eyes still closed, keep closing. And then I did the baptize and all that. And because the other medical personnel thinking about he might not able to get by or survive in a week, but God has His grace on him. And after a week, we went back there and visit him. And then you see the bottom picture. And he is awake and able, even though he cannot talk because the large tube into his throat. And then, but he can write. You see, because he can write in Chinese and said, first thing he said is, thanks to God. Give thanks to God. And also giving thanks to us to helping him to get baptized. And all this story here, and then we can see God is working and listen to the prayer, answer the prayer with the miracle. So up to now, he's already away from the ICU, but still in hospital, but he's already getting much better and recovering well. So this is also one of our works in Guangzhou, in Foshan area. And we know this gentleman from one of the church member want us to share gospel with them last year. And then he had accept Christ in his 90 years old, when he's got 90. And then he could make it to his 90 after the baptize, he can make it to his 91 years old birthday. This is, we give praise, give thanks to our Lord. And then you can also, at the same day, I baptized the gentleman, and also the wife wanted to get baptized too, so we went back to his home and do the baptize for the wife. And after a week, and the both daughter, still non-believer, but he can see the miracle work on their parent, and then make a birthday cake when his daddy get the 91 years old birthday. So right now, we just right before we came back, we do a lot of baptize in the beach, in the ocean, and we were there, we are there to do the Great Commission. We do the discipleship. We train new believer, especially for those medical doctor. We evangelizing, we share the gospel, we baptize them, we discipleship them. And then we bring them out. You see the last picture at the bottom. This is a team just happened in May. We are the team to Myanmar, to do the medical mission. on May 20, 2016. At that trip, we also see a lot of God's work there, and we're helping the poor with the medical works. And Diane had one time shared the gospel with her fingernail painting in five different colors. The green, the black, and the red, and the white, and also the yellow. Do you know what that means? Five colors on the finger, on the fingernail. And when she was doing that in the fingernail shop, when the lady helping her to do all those coloring, and they ask her, how come your fingernail printing on those kind of color? And then she had the opportunity to share the whole gospel to the whole shop of lady who helping her to do to paint all this fingernail. And then God also using this opportunity for Diane to share the gospel in Myanmar to all the more than 150 children from the age of 7 to 12. You know what happened? They all accept Christ as the Savior. Over the 150 young children from the age of 7 to 12. During the trip, I'm not a doctor, I'm the engineer, I'm the medical equipment engineer. But when I get to the Myanmar missionary trip, I became a hygienist. You know who is me? The guy who wearing the red T-shirt is me. I'm doing the hygiene work. You know, beside me is a pediatric doctor, and the other one is a dentist, the real dentist. And both doctor, they are from China. They are young and they believe to Christ, and then get baptized and get the discipleship, and then become a missionary, medical missionary. We bring those doctors away from China. We used to be bringing gospel to China, right? But right now we are doing to bring the gospel from China to other tribe, the other country. So we make disciples to all nations according to the Great Commission. And then also our organization, we have a project there, which is from the, you know, the top picture is our old building, the building which is we have now. So we are expanding. We are expanding the whole area, become the new building plan at the bottom. So this is all God's word. According to what we have how much we have in financially when we starting this project. You guess, we have zero. But this project costs 400 million RMB. And then right now we're starting, and we already have this is a senior home. And then we already operating for 3 years now. We built the school, and then we already starting the plan to build to build a new building. And this is all God's work. So amazingly, and then we get step by step, one step at a time, to get into the plan. And then just at the beginning of this year again, we're starting to buying a new hospital in a different area. Yeah, this is a new building. This picture taken like 2 weeks ago. The hospital, we already put down the deposit. The hospital cost about 28 million RMB, and which is about divided by five. 28 divided by five. Anyway, about Canadian dollars. I was trying to say the Canadian dollar. And then this hospital is also become our mission foundation, the mission platform. And then we just signed the contract and put down the deposit, 2.8 million RMB, 2 weeks ago. And please pray for us. And this is also a new project for us. And this hospital, we supposedly bought it 4 years ago. But at that time, God didn't give it to us, giving us this to us, and then giving us the senior home instead. But 4 years later, then this project is coming back. And even though it's more expensive, but it's, everything is already been done. And all the licensing and also even have a new building in it. And we're starting on this build, this project. We need your prayer support. We need your join us into this new project as the God's investment in the God's kingdom, the kingdom business. We are doing this as like a business as mission. We're doing this, we make money on the hospital and the senior home, but we put all this money back into the hospital to do to get expense and to expand the God's kingdom. And this is his business. Thank you.
We want you to come up and we'll pray for you. Let's stand together and pray for Albert and Diane as they continue their work. Father God, thank you for your blessings upon us as we are joining both Albert and Diane as they serve God in these vital ministries in China. We thank you that they are indeed our hands, our feet, as we heard last Sunday about the beautiful feet of the gospel. We thank you that the gospel continues to go out into our world through people like Albert and Diane, far-flung areas of our world in which the gospel is needed to be heard, from a 91-year-old man to people that are in difficulty, poor people in Myanmar. We thank you, Lord, that these feet, these hands, go to serve you around the world. We also, Lord, are hands and feet in our communities that we rub shoulders with, the people that are in our employment offices, schools, different institutions in our city here in Vancouver. We pray, Lord, that you would inspire us to press into the service of your gospel. We have a beautiful message to share with our world. And it doesn't just have to be in Shenzhen, right here in Vancouver area as well. So we link hands, we link hearts with Albert and Diane as they serve God in Shenzhen, we serve God here in Vancouver. Thank you for your blessings upon us, and we pray as they go to celebrate Sias and Annalise's wedding here on the 23rd, that you would bless the family, that you would encourage them, and that you would see the gospel work continue through their family. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So if you turn in your bulletins this morning, I'm just going to put your thing in my pocket for now. Talk to me later. You must talk to me later. The text that we're using again is from the book of Philippians chapter 3, and I've entitled the message, Grasping the Goal. Grasping the Goal. I find that in my own life, that as I set goals for myself, that often I find myself distracted by things of lesser cause or lesser importance to me. And you're probably very much like me, as we're all human beings, but we want to grasp the goal. The next slide has a quote here from Goethe, and it says, things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. Yet often that's what happens, isn't it? We get those things backwards. Just pause for a moment, and I want to give you a moment here to think of what matters most to you. What is it in your life that matters most? Well, probably a few things are ticking around inside your head of what it is that matters most to you. In chapter 3, we had Paul talking to us about what mattered most to him. He talked about how it was important for him to know Christ and that everything else was garbage compared to that knowing of Christ Jesus. He was willing to understand Christ Jesus in way of suffering, in way of fellowship, in way of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. And in these verses in 12 through 16, we see him talk about the importance of what that means in way of pressing into knowing Christ, and that he had not yet fully attained. And we see this in the first verse, verse 12. It says there, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which for Christ Jesus took hold of me." A holy discontent regarding spiritual goals. Paul says, I'm not quite there yet. I haven't arrived. I haven't fully known Christ. He had a holy discontent. He never came to the point that he felt that he had made it, done it all, attained spiritual enlightenment to the highest level of degree that he wanted to. Spiritual contentment is really the antithesis of spiritual growth, while a holy discontent is the catalyst for spiritual growth in our lives. Jesus in his Beatitudes said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's an indicator that we are alive spiritually when we hunger and thirst. When we seek fulfillment in other areas, we dull that hunger and that passion that we have for God. Not until we sit down to a spiritual meal like a sermon or a prayer meeting or a worship time and we feel ourselves in spirit dulled because we have filled ourselves perhaps with spiritual junk food in our course of our lives. How then can we begin to rekindle this hunger that we need for God? When we get hungry, many of us begin to look for something to eat. I don't know if you're like me, but you know, I get those little hunger pangs and I creep into the kitchen and open the kitchen refrigerator door and start rifling around in there looking for something not nutritious, but yummy. You know, something that would kind of, you know, scratch that sweet itch that I have. And so I sort through the refrigerator and aha, I come out with a piece of cake, very nutritious. It's got eggs in there, you know, some, okay, maybe not. Well, you know where we're going with this. When we eat, we dull that hunger factor that is within us. And so with our spiritual person as well, we have things that are hungering within us. It could be things like loneliness. It could be a sense that things aren't coming together for us. And so we search around to fill that void within us, a longing that doesn't seem to go away. And so we try to dull that. It's no accident, I believe, that one of the greatest spiritual disciplines the church is rediscovering in latest days is that of fasting. When we fast, we become acutely aware of our spiritual hunger as well as our physical hunger. That physical hunger can lead us to understand more so the nature of our spiritual person and that we need to hunger spiritually. Christians today are turning to fasting and to prayer as a means of waking up that great need within us to hunger after God. We may need to fast from other things other than just food, things like entertainment or just busyness and activity. We may need to involve ourselves in the holy discipline of fasting in order to waken within us that spiritual hunger that Paul is talking about here in this verse 12 that enables him to press in and desire strongly God. Perhaps it's for us when we feel that sense of dullness and lethargy in our spiritual lives to take pause, because what's really being communicated to us is that we're filling our lives with spiritual junk food. And we need to take a fast from that junk food and eat something that is truly spiritually nutritious and train our bodies to enjoy and accept that. Secondly, press on to grasp the goal. We see this in the latter part of verse 12, talking about, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Another aspect of this pursuing spiritual growth is that we must develop the art of knowing the right amount of effort to put into our spiritual pursuits, and particularly seeking God. The word press is an aggressive word in the Greek. It's not a word of just standing back and letting things happen to us, sitting comfortably in the pew and listening to a sermon. No, pressing is an aggressive, forthright, and forward action. Paul talks about pressing into his spiritual understanding of who Christ Jesus is, because Christ Jesus took hold of him, and thus he would take hold of Christ Jesus. Well, unlike most of the apostles, Paul chose to forego pleasures of marriage, and more time was sought in way of seeking and serving Christ in his life. He worked hard in the accordance with God's grace given him because of Christ dying for him. Growth doesn't occur without pressing in to the task. I'm not a weightlifter by profession, but I've seen on TV and other sources shows about bodybuilding and weightlifting. And if you're a young guy, you've probably gone through that circuit. As a young person, you know, you think, well, I need to get more strength. And even us older people decide that we need to gain more strength as well. And so weightlifting is something that has become quite popular these days. But we, you know, if I was to flex my biceps, you'd probably laugh and say, you know. But there are people that weightlift and do bodybuilding and have huge arms and strength all over the place. And we look at them and say, wow, how do they do that? How do they accomplish that? They accomplish it by keep adding more and more weight onto their barbells and onto the things that they're lifting and pushing. And they're putting more and more time and more stress upon that exercise. Maybe it's to build their abs or build their arms or whatever other body part. And so we know that in bodybuilding physically, we need to put more effort into building strength. But when it comes to our spiritual person, do we really press in like Paul is wanting us to press in here? We spend a lot of time doing stuff physically for ourselves, but little time doing stuff spiritually for ourselves. Paul says in verse 13, the latter part there, in verse 13, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold, but one thing I do. Very few people have one thing that they do. They usually involve themselves in too many things. A great businessman becomes a great businessman because he focuses on business. Same with a musician or an athlete or a scholar. They become great at their profession or their task because they focus on one thing. It's very common for people who serve to get distracted by matters of other concerns. Again, we have to ask ourselves, what matters most? What matters most? And do that one thing that matters most. Fourthly, forgetting the past. In the latter part of verse 13, it says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. We must focus on the goal ahead of us and not get distracted by our failures or even our past successes. Sometimes we become so backwards focused that we don't focus on what is forward. And particularly for us as we age, the older we get, the more we have a propensity to look backwards and relish those younger days. We all need to be forward-thinking and forward-looking. And that's just what Paul says here. He forgets what has happened in the past and strains towards what is ahead of him, what the future holds. When God promises to remember sins no longer, to remember not our iniquities, he's not suggesting that he will forget or suddenly have a gap in his memory. That's impossible for God, and it's also, I believe, impossible for us to forget past pains or hurts. But there's something about forgetting in way of the biblical understanding that it's not counted as worthy to be dwelt on or to impact our future. And so God says he doesn't count our sins against us, meaning that they have no import for him in the way he looks at us. And thus, as we look towards our future, it's to say, I'm not going to let my past failures and difficulties be what drags me down, but I'm going to be a new person in Christ and do what he's called me to. Fifthly, winning the prize with discipline. You can have the focus and the hard work you want, but discipline is the final requirement for getting the prize. Discipline is a self-control necessary to repeatedly do those things that are necessary to achieve your goal. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Highly Effective Habits for Highly Effective People, says this. Horace Mann, a great educator, talks about habits as like a cable. We weave a strand of it every day, and soon it cannot be broken. He defines habits as a combination of knowledge, skill, and desire. Knowledge involves what we do and why we do it. Skill, of course, is how we do it. And the desire is the drive to do it. When we have all three of those working together, we're able to form a habit that has a good effect on our lives, that enables us to press in to achieve the goal that we have before us. Of course, we need to block off a regular time in our schedule during our day to see that thing as important and press into it. Verse 14 talks about the vision of why we need to gain that prize. That being Christ Jesus himself, that the knowledge of Christ is worthy of our effort and our strength being put to it. The prize is not salvation. Salvation is already in Christ Jesus. The prize is more in the rewards that we will receive in being faithful in God's service. The Bible is full of those who have tried to and started to run the race well, and in running the race, they have defaulted. They have broken a rule or fallen prey to something along the way, along the race, and so have become disqualified. Men like that were lost, and we see these in Genesis 19 with Lot, Judges 16 with Samson, and Saul in 1 Samuel 28, disqualified from the prize, not losing our salvation, but not able to gain the prize of verse 14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15 says this, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Paul was all about the Philippians gaining the prize for which they were called heavenward in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus laid hold of them, and they in like fashion need to lay hold of Christ Jesus and to serve him with all diligence and press into that through God's enablement and God's blessing in their lives. Let's sing one more song before we close today. We welcome our worship team to come back up. And we ask that you would continue to seek God in way of pressing in to what he has called you to. What really matters in our lives is not all the things that are of this temporal world, but that which is of spiritual import, that which is eternal. And there's nothing more prizeworthy than the work that missionaries are called to do in seeking to seek and to save those that which is lost. We join in partnership with Christ in that. Let's stand together as we sing this final song.